Blog Talk Radio.
www.thematthewaronshow.com.
Hello.
At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, The Matthew Aaron Show, I think, on Facebook. I don't know anymore. I'm sitting next to. Go ahead, Mr. B. Are you going to talk?
Pat DeStefano.
Oh, yeah. And Pat, where are you from?
Mr. Stefano Harlem.
Oh, okay.
3917 North Harlem.
Yeah. Mike.
I didn't turn him on.
I'm Mr. B.
You didn't turn him on. You need to turn on headphones nowadays? I'm just going to buy you guys tin cans with string wrapped to them.
Well, with this link, you might as well.
Wait, your headphone's dead?
Seriously, you need to charge your headphone?
You need to charge headphones.
I'm confused.
Use the phone.
How? How do you charge?
Why do you need to charge
what power?
Headphones?
Because they're high powered.
What's high powered?
High powered bullshit. No, it's just to make you buy more shit.
What is it?
Because I bet you had to buy
do?
The charger. Doesn't it's not free? I'm sure.
No, it's like another $20.
Oh yeah, it's a free charger, Pat.
$3.99.
$3.99.
Yeah. Price.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing $3.99 in your life.
Who buys a pair of headphones? You got to charge. You know what I'm wearing? iPhones. They come with your iPod.
Hey Matt,
this is how cheap your host is.
Matt, proud of you.
I don't.
Thank you.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. Yeah, we can all. Oh, he can't hear. What? He needs to plug in these other headphones.
You're sitting right across from me. I can't hear you.
Well, you're not going to be able to hear Sam Simon.
Maybe I don't want this.
Sam Simon's joining us today, co-creator of The Simpsons, producer, writer of Cheers and Taxi. Maybe you heard of him?
He hasn't heard of Cheers.
No. You never heard of Cheers? Oh, no. How you doing, Mr. President? You're going to use my handset now to listen?
I kind of enjoy this.
Yeah, so it's Steve yesterday. He had to do the mix board with it.
Yeah,
wow, what kind of shop is
this?
What?
I think I'm going to bring this in the bathroom with me.
By the way, can we talk about Virgin Airlines? No, not allowed
so
to.
So can we talk about this? What did he create? The Simpsons and what else?
Well, he co-created The Simpsons. He produced and wrote for Cheers, Taxi, Drew Carey Show. A few little ditties.
He's got another resume.
Yeah, he's done some things.
A little better than you.
You know what? Yes, that's probably true.
That's probably. Whoa. I was about to say, Pat, that was a nice setup question to knock you, but then you dropped that's probably true.
With all due respect to all the guests we've had on our show, last night was the first time I thought, this guy, I'm probably not going to ever do better than.
You think he
This is the first time, because he's also been Boxing Manager of the Year when Lamont Brewster won his world title, I believe, in 2005. He managed Lamont Brewster. He has been in the World Series of Poker numerous times. I believe he's been in the final table. He's a great poker player. Sam Simon's kind of a renaissance man. And then he has
back
the Sam
07.
Well, he also has the Sam Simon. Yeah, you won. Yeah. Okay. Where's your bracelet?
I forgot it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's at home.
Where? What casino was it at?
Binion's?
Jackass.
Binion's?
That's Benny's? Was it a Benny's?
Benny's? Yeah, Benny's.
This is really weird, by the way.
You're using my phone to listen to a show. Yeah, it is kind of weird. You're using my phone from...
I don't know whether to talk into the microphone or the
phone. Good news is you're not going to get any radiation from using that phone.
Can I hang it up? Just hung up.
Can we hang you up?
No, but there's a mute button for you.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of mute buttons.
These people don't want to hear you.
No, they don't.
God forbid.
Judging by our numbers, no, they don't.
God forbid they.
Mr.
See
Beef,
you.
Harlem and Irving.
Yeah, Mr. Beef, Harlem and Irving. By the way, so we go to Mr. Beef Friday. Okay. Lenny and I want refills. So Lenny texts Pat and goes, please, can you get me and Matt a couple refills? Pat gives us this look of death. Like, we just asked for, like, a free meal, some coupons. Maybe some steak in the business. A 49-cent refill, and it's probably more there.
You charge for refills?
No.
Oh, baloney.
They wanted me to come out and get it for
them. No, that's my next question. Why would somebody text you for a refill when they can just go to the counter? Can you please refill this?
You seen the size of Lenny? You think he's getting up?
Hold on. Sam Simon's calling in now. He wants to get an early jump on things. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Me? Sam Simon.
Well, see, I told you. Sam Simon wants an early jump.
I didn't know what time to call in.
Oh, you can call in whenever you want. Uh-huh. I have a...
Is this Matthew Aaron himself?
This is Matthew Aaron himself.
Hey, man, how's it going? How's your show doing?
I'm doing well, sir. It's going
good.
Pretty well. Things are going good. I have
yeah?
a rule. If it's you or Ron Zimmerman, you guys can take over whatever.
Okay.
Need guests. You and Ron Zimmerman, that's the rule.
Well, okay. That's my Ron Zimmerman image.
You know,
did he talk about Cher?
He did talk a little bit about Cher, a little bit, a little bit.
Did he talk about the problems in their relationship?
No, he did not want to.
He couldn't understand why he always went to her place and she never came to his place.
Yeah, he did bring that up, and I kind of made it kind of clear that.
Well, I've seen both their places.
So
it's
you're not going
it's the only thing that makes sense. I'm surprised that she's ever actually been to his place, but I guess she really loved that guy because she has been.
Wow. Well, I'm surprised she's been there, too. I didn't even know she went there. I didn't even know. Oh, well, that's interesting. You know, Ryan also told me for his birthday one year, you got him a .com subscription.
A what?
He said you got him a Match.com subscription one year.
Lots of food for you.
Or was Ron smoking some wacky tobacco?
I don't know. You know what I gave him for his birthday that I remember that was way better than a... Isn't Match.com free?
I was thinking the same thing, but when Ron starts talking, you can't stop him.
I don't know. No, what I get... You know what? I wonder if he even knows who... Look, I gave him... Do you guys like comic books?
Yeah, I love comic books.
Okay, I gave him the original art to Green Lantern number 19 from 45 years ago. And it was Gil Kane, inked by Murphy Anderson. This is a collectible beyond belief. And it actually had two, it had Green Lantern drawing himself, so it actually had two Green Lanterns on it. This giant original India ink, you know, the original art used to be bigger. I know I gave him that, and I know that's worth a lot more than a Match.com subscription, I think is free.
I was going to say.
And I don't think he ever thanked me for the other one. Now it's all, we're talking like 15 years ago, I think. These memories are flooding back because I remember like, you know, I don't know why Ron, it seems like he would be really effusive about thanking me for this gift. I sound like Larry David or something. But, I think I got like, hey, thanks for the gift, man. And I just felt like, boy, wouldn't this guy be really happy with this? And I don't remember him ever really. But I have to say, I love Ron Zimmerman. Nothing that I'm, you know, I think he's a terrific talent. And a wonderful guy.
Yeah, he is. But I was thinking to myself, I go, from what I hear, Sam's a little loaded. He got you a Match.com subscription. What a good.
No, pack. I got him something fantastic.
I was going to say, all right, now I feel better about Sam as a friend here. I feel like he actually is going to.
No, I think this is a $25,000 item.
Well, Ron wanted to remember the free shit you got him, I guess. And
yeah. Well, did he meet Cher on Match.com?
He met Cher on Facebook.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
They're two. But does Cher do her own?
That's what he said. He said he was commenting on someone else's status, and Cher and him had mutual friends. And Cher was like, this guy's funny. And he didn't put it this way, but in my mind, the way he was telling it, I'm like, so you're basically telling me Cher wanted to fuck you because of some status you wrote.
No, she met him or something, right?
No, well, so what happened was she was emailing him, and Ron didn't think it was really Cher. He thought it was some, like, tranny that poses as Cher. But for some reason, Ron still decided to meet with this supposed tranny. And
right.
Then he was lucky it ended up being Cher.
Well, you know,
that's how I'm told.
Okay, I am a huge Cher fan.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And there's something I'm going to say. I think Cher is so talented. I think she is funny. She is one of the biggest comedy stars ever in television and film. One of the few women that's won an Academy Award for. Listen, I love Cher, okay?
Yeah.
And there's nothing in my real... I can't even... When I open the tabloids, and at this point it was Cher and Mystery Man, and I go, oh my God, that's Ron Zimmerman. And it's pictures of him like walking around with her carrying her purse in Hawaii or something. I don't think there's ever been anything that has surprised me more in my entire life. Like, you know, everything is... there's nothing that makes as little sense than that Ron Zimmerman ended up going out with. And Ron, you know, is kind of a ladies' man. I'm not saying, but I go, Ron and Cher. I mean, this is really bizarre, and I love Cher. And then we had I had an engagement party, like, I don't know, I guess it's like a year ago or something, and I had been to a Cher concert with my whatever she is, fiance, girlfriend, she's not my wife, but and I hadn't talked to Ron in a while, and he, you know, like on whatever the evite.com, he sends an email. He goes, is it okay if I bring a date? And I go, oh, you know, I don't want to jump all over it, but I go, of course, Ron, that'd be great. And we think he's going to bring Cher, and then he brought somebody else. We were all disappointed.
Oh. Yeah, I think Ron would even...
Because I couldn't go, you mean Cher?
Yeah. No, I think Ron, though, is a little shocked, though, too, he went out with Cher. I think he would admit it.
I didn't tell that story very well.
No.
I haven't been friends... I haven't been friends with Ron for a few years.
Oh.
And so when we're having an engagement party... I knew he was going out with Cher, so I invited him, even though, you know, he can be, like, very eccentric and argumentative. And so then I thought my plan worked when he said, can I bring a date?
Yeah.
And then he brought somebody else, because I invited him because I thought he would bring Cher. Neither of those versions are true. I was just trying to improve it because it seemed like you didn't care.
No, I got it. No, I did care. Here's what happened, Sam. In the middle of your story, this fat in my studio brings over a White Castle box, and he says, read the back of this. Isn't it funny? Like, I'm not doing a fucking show here. You bring me over cheeseburger boxes and say, read the back of it. Isn't this humorous? No, I'm not reading it. I'm talking to Sam Simon.
Who's that?
This is what I deal with. I got, you know...
Who brought you the... First of all, Wait a minute. I'm going to reserve judgment. What does it say on the back of the box?
All right, let's find out if this is even funny. Sam Simon's a master of comedy, so I got food for you. If he doesn't think it's funny...
Hey, listen, I've read things on boxes that are hilarious.
All right.
Let's see what this is. What does it say?
Okay, well, Turzo bought 2 Crave cases tonight. It cost him $80-some dollars. To promote healthy eating of hamburgers at home... White Castle issued a menu suggestion pamphlet that featured serving the burgers with salads and vegetables. Is it better than me talking to Sam Simon?
That's not funny at all.
Not funny at all, see? It's White Castle. How funny can they be? They're not hiring Richard Belzer to write on the back of their boxes. Norm MacDonald isn't writing on the back of a White
Castle.
They're
saying, like, this isn't very, it's... You need to have a balance. It's like cereal saying you got to put milk in it.
Yeah. Well, you're a vegan, right, Sam? So you don't eat
I am.
You don't eat that White Castle shit.
No, I wouldn't eat that. But really, like, you know, there are lots of reasons to be – there are lots of reasons I'm a vegan. I don't – you know, I don't promote it. I don't – you know, you can eat meat. I don't – you know, it doesn't make me nuts. But, like – there's a big difference between eating meat and eating White Castle. That's really bad for you. You know, McDonald's is really bad for you.
I'm not even.
And health is just one of the reasons that, you know, but I'm mainly an animal rights person. I come at it from an ant. But, you know, there's environmental impact to that stuff, too.
No, I, you know what? And one of the reasons.
Everybody thinks you're crazy. Yeah. When you say, like, we could stop global warming if we stopped eating meat. Meat causes more greenhouse gases than, and we're talking about the methane from the cattle and pigs, and we're talking about the transportation of them. I mean, it's an ecological, it's a disaster for the planet to have a meat-based diet. But listen, you know, again, it's like, why would you eat white? Like, it's just junk. It's just you're used to, you grew up with it, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, for our listeners, it's interesting you brought that up. I do want our listeners to know the reason how I discovered Sam Simon, and the reason I feel like kind of kindred to Sam Simon, is Sam is into many things. He's a writer. He's a producer. I write. I'd love to do stuff like that. He plays poker.
Right.
He was a boxing manager. I love boxing. Mm-hmm. And also, he is a avid animal lover. And anyone that knows me knows I got like four dogs. Like four,
right.
Four dogs. And we just got another dog, five now, actually.
Are they vegans?
No, my dogs are. I don't know if they're. Could my dogs be vegan?
Sure.
You can? You can have
them? Of course.
I don't know. I feel bad for my dogs if I don't give them like.
Why?
Sometimes I don't know if they like it or not. I'm really weird, Sam. I treat my dogs almost like human beings. It's really odd. And but I got really into Sam because Sam is a very big animal lover, and the Sam Simon Foundation is a one of a kind, and it's the most genius fucking charity on the planet. I really believe it, Sam.
Well, thank you.
When I move out to L.A. in December, I'd love nothing more than to volunteer over there. I mean,
well, you know, I like to hire people. I like to give people jobs. Yeah. I'm an animal lover, but I'm a human being lover, too. And so what I would like you to do is come. You can at least come visit our training center in Malibu that Morley Safer described as the grandest five-star dog shelter in the world, and it probably is. And you should come out for a visit. But, you know, the Sam Simon Foundation does a lot of different things. Now, did you tell your listeners the most interesting thing about it is that I don't take donations? I pay for it all myself?
Actually, I brought that up yesterday on the show. My favorite
thing. Because that's always like a thing. Because, you know, when you do stuff for animals, people go, well, why don't you do, you know, people are so negative. And they just find something, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I like the dog. We train first of all, we provide free spay-neuter for people. This is a lot of people can't afford to do it. We're the largest provider of free spay-neuter in Los Angeles. One day a week, any surgery, because I have a mobile vet clinic and I have everybody on staff, one day a week, I do any surgery their dog or cat needs for free, anything.
Yeah.
For free.
I know, yeah.
I pay for that myself. But, you know, still they go, well, what about people? What about people? And so so I started the Sam Simon Foundation Feeding Families Program, and we are the first mobile food bank in Los Angeles, and we're going to feed 150 families a day.
Yeah. No, it's
free because this country is falling apart, and I just watched all these stories about the unemployed family and the depression and everything. So I said, I could do something to help some people. So we bought the Pinkberry headquarters, and we were supposed to be on the road July 1st. But that woman, remember that Korean woman that started Pinkberry?
Oh, yeah.
She didn't permit any of the change. You know, we bought the building because it had a kitchen. It had locker. It had, you know, this was their headquarters. It had offices. It had, this is where they did their formulas. It had loading docks and everything. She didn't permit anything. So now I have to sue her, and I have to redo all the work with permits. So in the meantime, people are starving.
Well, let me ask you something, Sam, because
what?
In my eyes, you're one of the nicest guys, in my eyes, because everything you do. And
I'm a good person, but I'm not a nice person. I'm not a nice person.
You're a good person, though. So what I want to know is, why have there throughout your career been certain people here and there that have had problems with you, issues with you? Or is it just the way that is in Hollywood and yours seem to be more
personal? I think a little of it is the way it is in Hollywood. I know, you know, I mean, there's like, look, you know, Matt Groening, I know everybody, you know, that's something. And, you know, okay. that's pretty well, you know, it's like, that to me seems kind of one-sided. You know, you can't read me saying anything bad about Matt Groening any place ever because it's not feelings that I have. I think, like,
right.
Hey, a bunch of people got together. They did a show. They made TV history. It was the greatest show ever. Everybody got stinking rich. It's like, why would you have anything negative to say or feel about anybody? And that's just my feeling about it. The stuff with George Carlin, George Carlin was a treasure to work with. I love him. I thought we had a great experience. I felt bad when the show was canceled after two seasons. I remained friends with him and talked to him. And then after he died, there's some shit in this book about me. And, I can't really, I don't know what to make of it. And I feel horrible about it. It certainly, there was never anything negative in my relationship with George Carlin, who was just a complete, he was a treasure.
So how would you explain how you work? How, when someone works with Sam Simon, what can they expect?
I stopped working a while ago. You know, like, my best friend is Drew Carey. We worked together for, 9 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. What can they expect? You know, it's like, look, my problem is that, my goal for something I do, for a show, it's like I want it to be the best show on TV. You know, this is really high standards. I want all my friends to laugh at every joke. I want it to be genuinely funny, and I feel that I'm a failure as a human being if that isn't what happened. And it has happened a few times. I mean, I generally work on the best, you know, like if you look at my resume, these are the best shows in history.
No argument.
And some of them, I'm not saying that everything I did was the best, although the George Carlin show got as good reviews as The Simpsons did when we first came on the air, it kind of got away from us. But, you know, that happens too. There's a lot of luck. And some people love it and it changes their lives and I'll put it this way. It may be hard to work with me at times, but think about me. It's harder on me. What tends to happen is you get rich by putting up with it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Taxi is one of the greatest shows ever. Cheers is one of my personal favorites. And I would think a lot of people would say it's one of the top shows ever. Tracy Ullman was fantastic and did a lot of things.
It was very uneven, but we used to – the show we would win the Emmys with were, for some reason, we were allowed to make a best of show.
Yeah.
It was a compilation. It was an hour of the best things. And that was just fantastic. And nobody watched. These shows are really – they're old. I mean, I remember there was a writer named Jerry Belson, who's one of the greatest comedy writers of all time. And he had worked on the Dick Van Dyke Show. And, like, when I worked with him on Cheers, I was going, like, oh, my God, this guy worked on the Dick Van Dyke Show. But I think that was more recent than, like, Taxi is today. I mean, isn't that, like, 30 years ago? How long ago was Taxi?
Well, Taxi was, what, 75, 76? So that has to be – Taxi was how long ago?
Well, I started third season on that, so –
Holy cow. By the way, you look great. So 35 years ago, you were what, 10?
I was running Taxi when I was 23.
Holy fuck me. 23. How are you running Taxi when you're 23? How does this happen? Explain to me how
I wrote a script on my own that's called a spec script.
Yeah.
I mailed it in. They bought it. They made it into a show. They put me on staff, and a year later, I was running the show.
That is fucking amazing.
That's how you do it.
How did you get it done, though? What is it about Sam Simon that you could write a spec script, get it made, because Steve and I, as young writers, that's the dream. That's the dream. How do you get it made? How did it happen for Sam Simon?
I don't know. I think I had a good story idea. Is this like a writer's? I don't really know. I don't know if I have that much in common with Dean Martin's daughter that, like, the same people are going to be interested.
No, I only have people on the
stuff.
That
but, like, what I would say in a writer's class is that when I used to read spec scripts and read stuff from that was submitted to me, I wouldn't expect the script to be great. If there were good jokes in it, I would buy it. If there was a good, you know, not buy it, I would hire the person.
Yeah.
If there was a good scene, like to be able to write a scene, which is kind of like a sketch in a comedy show, you know, I would hire that person. If there was a great story idea, I might buy that and bring them in. And, you know, with no false modesty, my spec script had a good story idea. It had some scenes that ended up in the final air show, and it had a lot of good jokes. So, you know, I guess I was really good at something that there's no market for anymore, and I hit it just right. You know, I'm very fortunate.
No, and so are
the dogs, and so are the... So Save the Children, and so are all the other people that have benefited.
Yeah, and I do want you to know, we had Dina Martin on yesterday, but most of the time we've had, like, Phil Rosenthal, Michael Whitehorn. I just graduated from college, and, you know, I really want to write and act, and you guys are all like my idols in a way. Guys, so I try to get you guys on the show.
You just graduated from college?
I did.
From where?
DePaul University in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a nice little college. It's private, actually. It's not that little.
Right.
Yeah,
they have a basketball team, I think.
Sam, you sound a little disappointed with DePaul. You're like, he's waiting for Harvard or Stanford.
Well, Harvard, you know, I started that.
I know you did. Harvard.
I hired the first wave of those guys I mean, like the first Harvard, you know, George Meyer, Tom Gamble, and Max, you know, those guys, they got other jobs before they worked in television. Like, I know, at least George did. You know all these names, right?
Tom Gamble, he's one of my favorite writers in comedy.
Yeah, and George is a genius.
Yeah,
and I hired him on The Simpsons. I think they all work on The Simpsons now. I'm not sure if George is still there, but he was working like in a medical lab because it wasn't this underground. It wasn't like comedy. You know, like The Simpsons is a major. You know what I mean? It's like you basically line up a job at Saturday Night Live or Late Night or The Simpsons by going to Harvard.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess they graduated a class that wasn't born yet when The Simpsons went on the air. I guess it's coming close, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That
wow.
Would be, yeah, that would be, let's see, Simpsons was what, 89?
I don't know.
90, so then, yeah, it'd be next year. It'd be next year.
Wow.
That's amazing. It's really great. But like I love those guys, and you know, so we try to get out because I know a lot of students.
What was your major?
I got a major in digital technology, which is
for
writing and whatever and film.
It's what?
It encompassed everything from film editing to.
What's your spec script?
I have a spec script we just wrote a few weeks ago for Modern Family.
Okay.
We have a pilot. We have two pilots we've written and our animated project of this show we're working on.
Oh. So,
Yeah, so, I figured I'm doing this show for free. I'm doing it in my mother's basement.
I'm doing this show for free, too.
You are. Well, we'll send you a gift package, Sam.
Okay.
I'll send you a robe with my initials embroidered on it. It's not that great. Not the best gift. Okay, so we're doing the show in my mom's basement, so I figured, well, I might as well try to turn something from nothing into something, so...
Right.
I'm an animator. We're putting together some character design.
Now, are you an actual animator?
No, I can't draw. I have ADHD.
Okay.
Go nuts. I couldn't do that. It's too, idiot, no. But so he's going to animate character designs and drawings and stuff, and then we're going to try to pitch it. And it's basically based off of, it's like a 22-minute late-night animated talk show.
Right.
I figured, I don't know if it's been done, well, Space Ghost in a way, and Dr. Katz in another way, but this isn't...
Oh, yeah.
This isn't really scripted, so, figured to do that, so we're working on that, too. So, we're prepared. We're moving out to L.A. in December, and we're taking the show with us, but, from now, just trying to do what we're doing.
Hey, when you're out here, you should come visit the Sam Simon Foundation in Malibu. Hey, does anyone listen to your podcast?
Yes, actually a couple thousand subscribers on iTunes.
A couple thousand?
Yeah, and we've only been doing
Can I plug my Twitter, Simon Sam?
Of course you can.
Okay.
You can plug whatever you want.
The only thing I care about.
Yeah, I apologize for the load number.
Oh, yeah, and The Simpsons, 8:30 on whatever.
Yeah.
That's I don't know about that. But, yeah. No, I want, to me, if I could get, five more followers out of this thing.
I could get you 5,000.
Gary plugged me on the wrap-up. Well, he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
He said, you're a big Stern fan, I know, right?
Yeah, yes, you do know.
Did you hear Gary plug my Twitter?
I sure did, and he went down on
that. That got me 4 followers.
4 followers?
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's hard. people just don't want to listen anymore. People don't care. Everyone in this room has to follow Sam Simon on Twitter.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the 4. I got the 4 from the people in the room.
You're not on Twitter, Fricano? Why not? Why aren't you on Twitter? Who's tweeting? Sam Simon's tweeting.
Yeah, come on, man.
Maybe he'll follow you if you're interesting.
What, do you follow me? Yeah, you follow me on Facebook.
I do.
You friended me.
I did friend you. We are now friends.
Yeah.
I'm one of your 4,000 closest friends, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not friends.
Yeah.
They're like the opposite of friends, and they're the opposite of followers. They don't do what you want, and then they say the meanest things you can possibly think of.
Really? People?
Yes.
You get hurt.
And they spoil Big Brother.
Oh, no.
They go, oh, boy, I can't believe, they know that,
people,
I can't believe Danny won HOH. What do you think of that, Sam? I go, I'm about to watch the show, you fucker. You're blocked.
I've gotten caught. Big Brother's a dark secret over here, but I've gotten caught after dark. I've gotten caught a few times.
Well, that's what I I only watch it when I've accidentally gotten the spoilers.
Oh yeah, I hate when people spoil shit on the internet.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, I've become good friends with Bruce Fretz from over at TV Guide, and he gets all the screeners ahead of time. And he spoiled Damages for me once on accident, and I wanted to kill him.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine, Ralph Sorella.
Yeah, Ralph, yeah.
And I'm going to call him out because he is, he is nuts about the spoilers.
Yeah.
But he does a little sub-genre of spoiler that he needs is in that he will – live tweet during a show that hasn't been on West Coast yet.
Yeah.
But in his wisdom, he will do, he'll say, well, I'm not spoiling anything. I will increase people's entertainment if they know that I think this person's stupid and has, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's no, just don't say anything.
I believe it was on Stern 10 years ago that Ralph spoiled a Sopranos episode for me, and I wanted to jump through the – I was going to fly to New York and kill him, basically.
Right.
I was pissed. I was
well,
pissed.
It's gotten with DVRs, it's a much bigger deal now, and I don't know what the statute of limitations is. But clearly, like, before the thing is even aired, you shouldn't be saying anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but just so you know, also, my producer just told me that Craig Bierko retweeted our episode from the night as well, so maybe you'll get some followers there, too.
Oh, okay, good.
That good old Bierko.
What's that guy doing?
What is that guy doing? Let me tell you something about Bierko. What is he doing? Last I talked to him a few weeks ago.
Are you guys friends now?
We're actually friends, yeah. We
okay.
do charity work together, and we talk. And I texted him. I don't know what it was, but he worked on the Three Stooges movie, so he's going to be in the new Three Stooges film.
Oh, okay.
He's in The Change Up, which just came out.
Right.
And on that Necessary Roughness show on USA, which is actually pretty decent with Kelly.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure he's got like 60 other
things. Was in that movie. He played Max Baer in Cinderella Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but it was a very inaccurate portrayal of Max Baer.
Yes, him and I had that conversation.
They like made him, just because they had to do every stupid cliche. I mean, that movie was a piece of shit. Just why would you even make that anymore? It's just so goddamn boring. They had to turn. You know, this kind of the guy whose problem was he was too nice, basically. They had to turn him into this two-dimensional villain. One-dimensional villain? I don't know how many.
It was one.
He wasn't a three-dimensional, and he wasn't really a villain. I mean, he was a guy trying to earn a living, too.
No, Craig had a problem with that, too. I remember we had lunch once, and we were talking about it, and he was he brought up Max Baer. And he talked about it on the show, I think, too, when we had him on.
Did he?
Yeah, him and I both.
Did Max Baer Jr. get upset about it?
I don't remember exactly. I know Craig talked to him, though. And
yeah.
I actually think Craig was more upset, I think, because he thought Trail wasn't, you know, hey, you get paid, wherever the check cashes.
Right.
So, you know, it was a good spot for him to be in. It's a major movie, Ron Howard, Russell Crowe. So good.
I know, yeah.
But, you know.
You know, on the Drew Carey show, a writer's assistant had a boyfriend that was an unemployed actor. What year did the Drew Carey show premiere?
Wasn't it like 96?
Is it on the White Castle box?
No, it's not on the White Castle box, Sam.
Is it on your, I could Google it too. Do you guys know? When was it?
98.
What?
98.
Was it?
That's what it says.
98. Anyway. We had there was this woman that was a PA or a writer's assistant, and in 1998,
all right, I'm sorry.
She had a boyfriend that was an unemployed actor, and he shot the B-roll for the gag reel and that young filmmaker's name was Russell Crowe.
Oh, wow, I didn't know
that. Isn't that something?
No, that is something. And by the way, for people listening, it was 95, 96.
What?
Drew Carey premiered in 95, September. I looked it up. I was a couple years off. I'm usually not.
Wow.
And
really? It's 2003.
2003. Nine seasons.
No, what year is it now? It's 2012.
2012. Or is it 2011? It's 2011.
It's 2011.
Listen, rich guys like me and Sam Simon don't have calendars, okay?
Wait, what are you talking about? You're saying that was 18 years ago?
No, it was 8 years ago, wasn't it? 8 years ago. 95? Yeah, 18 years ago was Drew Carey. Sam, you need to get back in the game.
Ugh.
It's been a while.
Really?
Yeah, 95. I just looked it up.
Well, that's 16 years ago.
Oh, 16 years ago. Okay, for kind of correcting me like 30 times, I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
16 years ago.
He just didn't want to disagree with me, even though he was telling you the right number.
I agree with you. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam,
you're gonna do it. You're gonna do okay in Hollywood, don't worry.
Yeah. That's what I wanna hear. Sam, I heard you actually are really close to one of my comedy idols, which is Norm Macdonald. And I kinda was wondering.
Well, Norm and I run Hot and Cold and now you can't get mad at me for not getting mad at for not being able to get along with Norm all the time because, you know, he's a talented. Norm is, I got to say, like, you know, I directed some. I met Norm because I was, they asked me to come in and direct episodes of the Norm show, which never, you know, sometimes these things work, sometimes they don't. It had a great cast, one of the most fun things in my career, one of the greatest things, was Artie Lang was on the show. And hanging out in Norm's trailer with Artie and then, you know, some of these other guys and stuff, it was the most fun you could ever have in your life. Because Norm is probably, I don't know, I hate to say the funniest person. You know, that's tough. I know a lot of really funny people, but Norm, the guy that, you know, that, you know, not necessarily the, you know, Norm is a fantastic stand-up, but I'm not talking about the guy standing in a microphone with a microphone on the stage at the Improv in Brea. I'm talking about, you know, the guy sitting in a room with you is as funny as anybody I've ever met. Right. I'll just put it that way. He's hilarious.
He is. He's hilarious. I love him. He's the best. But I was kind of wondering why you guys haven't done a show together outside
of... We did! That's why I'm mad at him.
Oh, here we go. So, wait, why are you mad at him? What?
This was already on the Howard Stern show. I don't want to... He's got his own take on it.
Well, okay, let me ask you this then, because I don't want to rehash any...
We got picked up. Yeah. We were going to be a series on FX. I wrote it with him, and one of the reasons I really liked it was that I had I act too. I'm really excellent, if anybody can hire me. But I had a part in it, too. I played his friend in the show. I mean, we played ourselves. And it was him getting a reality show because FX thought he was crazy because he, you know, which is true. It really made sense. And then, you know, anyway, that was and I was producing the show because he wanted a friend to be around. Oh. So that was the show. We got picked up. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't know who would give him another show. He just got another one canceled on Comedy Central. But I don't want to in any way impugn the professionality of the great Norm Macdonald. So I'm not going to say what is just my opinion about how this thing clapped. But we were picked up. We were on the air. Mm-hmm. And somehow this thing fell apart.
I had no, you know what? I was with Howard all the time. I didn't hear that whole story.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this, though, Sam.
What?
I just don't get
now
it.
Now you're ringing up. Was a heartbreaker.
No, I'm not going to break your heart anymore.
I would have won an Emmy for acting.
Oh, well, you know what? I kind of think you could be a good actor, to be honest. I am. You have the look. You're perfect with the look.
Yeah.
You got a great look. You know.
Yeah, people always think they go, "Are you?" They go, "Are you famous?" And I have no. I know I look a little like Dom Herrera, and I know I used to like on the back in the day. People would think I played Carmine on Laverne and Shirley. So I think I just have kind of a thing that they because they don't know who I am really. Like I get all the benefits of, you know, kind of. Like fame and money without like I can still go places and nobody even knows who the hell I am.
No, I was talking at the beginning of the show how out of every guest we had on the show, because I guess maybe I have a little bit of an ego, I'm like, oh, I can live up to this person or that person. You're the one guy where I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting there because you got it made.
Yeah, no, but you know what? It's true because it doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Like that was the last show that can run for this long. I mean, when you could still make a deal that you get paid, it's never going to happen again.
No, it's not.
And because like now you don't get to own stuff. This is now a brand that is so entrenched. You know, it's just it can't happen. I mean, I hit that, you know, I mean, now really it's like all the comedy writers are out of work and they don't really, I don't know. I was very fortunate.
No, you were fortunate, but it also took a great deal of skill to do that. But, you know.
Well, success is where preparedness and opportunity meet. What?
Isn't success.
What are you.
I've heard.
Are you reading the White Castle box?
No. No. You were talking about success, and the way I heard it was what is luck is preparation meets opportunity. That's why I heard luck.
No, it's success is 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration.
Oh, well, there, Tommy Edison. Is that who that is? Tommy Edison?
I don't know.
Or Sammy Simon, one of the two.
I don't know.
Well, why?
Do the other characters on your show talk?
Yeah, they do talk. Would you like to speak to any of them? I don't know.
Well, who is it? The reason I ask is that you said we're going to animate this talk show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so far, you're the only one that talks.
I think people are a little intimidated.
In my experience,
I think people are a little intimidated by you.
Yeah, what? I know. I'm very intimidating.
Wearing show. Calm down here. But Mike, do you have any questions? Is anyone in this room? I'm in a room of 10 people. Who has a question?
Is that true? There's 10 people in the room?
Swear to God. Who?
Okay, well, I'm going to my email right now and I'm going to see if I have 10 new followers on Twitter.
You better
Twitter.
Followers.
Because I get email notifications. Oh, producer Caesar. Fried Neck Bone, is he yours?
He must be.
Alex Loisi?
Yes, that's one. I can account for that.
All right, that's good.
We're working it.
Excellent.
I just followed you on Twitter.
All right, Al, who's asking? Go ahead, Pat. You got a question for Sam.
I'm not on Twitter. I just follow you.
Oh,
hey, Pat. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm actually listening.
Did you go to DePaul?
Yeah, I went to DePaul, yeah.
We all went to
DePaul. Everyone here went to DePaul.
Were you in a frat together?
No.
We had friends before we got to college. We didn't need to buy them.
True story.
So what's going on, Pat?
What kind of dog is that on Twitter?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is Harvey.
That is
Harvey, unfortunately, passed away less than a year ago. An Irish wolfhound. Harvey weighed 190 pounds. Harvey was 6'8 on his hind legs. He was a great, great dog, and it was a privilege to have him as a companion. But the thing about him is that the Irish Wolfhounds, and purebred dogs, they're not healthy. He died before he was 8 years old, and he was unhealthy the last year of his life. So as great as he was. I would never get we have another Irish wolfhound that's older, but he was fantastic. He's also he's the one in my Facebook profile pic too. That's him from the front.
Alex was sitting there looking at it. He said, "What kind of dog is that?" It's
Yeah.
Good job, Baba Wawa.
They're whenever they start arguing about what the biggest dog is. Okay. It's like all these dogs are about, they go, well, they're the tallest and the Great Danes and the Mastiff and stuff. But, you know, he was huge. And what can I tell you? What else can I tell you about Harvey? He was, he bit three people, and I like to say they all deserved it. And only one was a serious attack, and that guy really deserved it. And then my fiance, girlfriend, future ex-wife, she said that Harvey had human intelligence. And I've had some really smart dogs, and Harvey was very smart, but he did not have human intelligence. But if you want an insight into, if you talk to him, he would be very interested. He would, look at you. and he'd like turn his head, and for some reason he liked to listen to people talking. And so to Jenna, that meant he was intelligent, because she would he made no demonstration whatsoever that he understood what she was talking about. I mean, I guess he just appeared to be like sympathetic and interested. So that meant he was smart.
Hold on 1 second. Pat, why don't you tell Mr. Vegan Sam Simon what you do for a living?
I'm actually...
Wait, let me guess. You train killer whales at SeaWorld?
No, but that's probably a good business.
You're a butcher?
I actually do train killer whales. I have two sitting right in front of me.
Fat jokes? Fat jokes, really?
I didn't.
Oh, is he the guy that brought in the burgers?
Yeah,
I got one at about $4.50 and the other one about $3.98.
Go ahead, plug your little place, Pat.
I'm actually we're in the restaurant business. We sell Italian beef, hot dogs, pizza.
Yeah.
If you ever come to Chicago, I know you're a vegan. If you ever want to break that, come and try it. I'd love to have you in there.
You never know.
I'd love to have you.
Well, this is like, you know, my food bank is going to be vegan. And that just means, this is what I go, I am starting this mobile food bank, and I'm going to feed 150 families, unemployed victims of the recession, a day. They go, oh. And then I go, it's vegan. They go, oh. But people can, you know, they can still go buy meat. They don't have to sign any vow. You know, I'm just saying, I will eat the same thing they do. I will, you know, I am going to eat the food from our van. It's, you know, you will be able to get three great meals a day, and you will thrive, as opposed to, you know, when you eat White Castle burgers.
I don't know.
But
White Castle is that once in a
long
time thing.
You had the hot hole from Castle 2 weeks ago.
It was about a month ago.
No, it was like 2 weeks ago. You got a crave case
ago.
With the jalapenos.
Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But I don't eat it often. But I eat a lot of meat, though.
Hey, now wait. So you buy the meat?
A lot of sausage.
Do you buy?
What do you do?
I'm sorry?
Explain what the process is. You buy the meat?
No, we actually make it ourselves. Wow, all the beef's made ourselves.
You kill the cows in the back?
Oh, no, we buy the, you know, the cows, but we cook it ourselves.
You buy the cows?
Oh.
Wait, I'm confused.
I'm sorry, I got this kid in front of
me. What? He asked you a simple question.
And are
now
you talking into
cows.
The phone and not the microphone?
I think I was.
Did you forget you're not on the phone?
Well, I'm holding a phone by my
He's
ear.
Using my cord phone. I have a corded phone for my cell phone.
Right.
I have radiation in my head.
That's
so,
right.
So he's using my corded phone to listen to the show for some reason, and he started talking into the receiver instead of talking
to
the
phone. Well, aren't I on a speaker?
No, I don't have you on speaker, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't want any feedback.
All right, so he's listening on the...
Yeah, he's listening on the corded phone.
Okay, so I repeat. So you buy meat from a butcher or a meat supplier, and then you, like, prepare it.
And then we prepare it in-house, yes.
Okay. Now, have you ever seen what goes on at a slaughterhouse?
Actually, not at a slaughterhouse, but a friend of mine does own a meatpacking company. And
yeah?
I mean, there's still, like, you know, the heads are on the cows and everything. They cut them off there. I have seen that.
Oh!
And it's actually very disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't like walking
in
the back of the meatpacking.
But not
disturbing. So you just want to let... Yeah. I mean, because, actually, you know, I'm a... I am so involved with. Is Chris Canto there?
Oh, no.
Okay, he's not one of yours. Maybe he's a listener. But wait, I was just watching Twitter followers come in.
Oh,
but,
listeners too, Sam. They're not all in the
business. Yeah, but you know, Peter. One of the things that I'll say we do is we try to have humane treatment of the animals. We're not saying it all has to stop. We're, you know, we'd prefer it, but like, look, if you're going to eat beef, so look, Pat,
yeah,
why don't you make sure that your beef supplier uses humane slaughtering methods?
You know what, I'll ask that question tomorrow and they'll ask for a loop, because
there's a lot of things they can do to make it nicer and less stressful for the animals.
It's better taste as well, though, Pat.
It always tastes good. Family recipe, 35 years.
Yeah,
I'm kicking.
All right, calm
down. No, they say it does affect the taste.
No, it wouldn't affect the taste.
Yeah, they say that the fear. It does affect it. That, like, if these animals are terrorized for a couple of days before they're actually killed, that it does. That there are some chemicals that are in the meat. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know.
Mike Fricano has a question for you, Sam.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Great. I was wondering what you thought of the Brooks Hogan spread for the PETA picture.
The
new Brooks Hogan picture for PETA.
Oh, I know a lot of people do those. Do you want me to look at it?
Oh, I was just wondering if you. I had read a lot of different articles about, look at this racy picture for PETA.
You read articles?
I read articles.
They do a lot of racy pictures at PETA.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I mean, I'd rather go naked than wear fur and.
In front of her father.
I got naked for PETA.
They got to wear fur.
Did you?
Yes.
No, well, I got naked for PETA. They didn't
accept
my pictures.
Were you showering that day?
They didn't accept my pictures.
You look like a grizzly bear, that's why.
That's real not funny.
You can get a signed one for $50.
A signed one of me naked? Yes, for $50.
Oh, wow, that's a great picture.
Oh, Sam's talking about my pictures, of course. Not
yeah. No, I'm... No, did you... Oh, wait, no, this is women in cages. Wait.
Whoa.
What do we got going on over there?
What do you go to?
I got to look this up now. Now you guys have...
No, this is really very artistic. I'm not kidding. It is. It's her in a cage.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I see it. Hello. Oy vey.
And they are selling these at PETA for $50 autographed.
I will call up Hulk Hogan myself and get one for free. Oh, no, I won't. I won't.
Have you seen it?
I'm looking at it right now, Sam.
Isn't that cool?
She, that doesn't even look like Brooke Hogan.
I know, that's why it looks good.
You know what? Sorry to change.
I mean, she does look just like her dad.
Oh, she's actually a very attractive girl.
All right.
You know what I was just thinking is...
You don't think she's kind of mannish?
Yeah, I think she looks like her dad, which is weird.
You know, Matt, I was just thinking about it.
Oh,
Lisa Butcher, how come he's not on the show today?
Oh, we don't want him on
I
the
would
show.
Sam, you need to grill this kid.
I don't need a grill kid. Pat wants to fire someone from the show.
Who?
We had a council meeting. This guy, Lee, he sits in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Pat doesn't find him funny. He thinks he starts a lot of trouble. And Pat wants to have
He's
him
a
fired.
Butcher, though, too.
He is a butcher.
I don't like that idea.
We got to vote later.
After
this coming from Mr. Beef.
Well, no, after hearing about everything, you kind of...
You're
going to
change
it.
Your ways now?
Well, you kind of want to. You got to feel bad now.
I think I know where Pat's vote is for later.
You know what you should see? That movie, Temple Grandin.
How about
Grandin.
What's the other one?
Really good.
Supersize Me or something?
It was on HBO. No, I don't. Oh, I've seen Supersize Me too, but that's garbage. Whatever. Okay, please. You had to make a movie to tell me McDonald's was awful? Come on, everyone.
Oh, I know that. That's why I don't eat there.
Well, I know. I mean, listen, before I saw the movie, I thought, well, look, I mean, I agree with you. It's like. Look, we all know McDonald's is bad, but, did you know, a person could die? A doctor would tell them they were going to die if that's all they ate?
You know
that's
what?
That's
what
the bad.
Yeah, you can tell by looking at it.
Terzo, how long were you just in my bathroom for with that White Castle?
You know what? Anything they sell for a 99-cent cheeseburger, nothing good comes out of it.
Oh, my God. You're shitting out White Castles in my friggin' bathroom. Oh, barbecue from lunch. Okay, even worse.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I'm saying. It's Chicago, Sam. No one's even heard of veganism over here. I'm kind of...
not true. There's vegans all over. It's kind of cool now, I think.
You know what the problem is, Sam? I'm going to tell you what the problem is in Chicago.
What's the problem?
A lot of these vegan kids in Chicago do it to be cool. I don't think they do it just for the animals because they're all a bunch of hipster kids. And
that
pisses everyone off of the vegan thing. I really think that's partly true.
You do?
Yeah, I think sometimes we do things based on if people that we like do things, and we don't really think for ourselves. And when you see Hipster kids doing veganism, it kind of turns us meat eaters off and makes.
Yeah, but you're doing it because you don't think for yourself. You were just brought up to do it.
Yeah,
at least they're changing their minds and like. It's like religion. What religion do people pick? They pick the one that their parents have.
Yes.
Nobody thinks about that.
No, not – yeah, I have. I'm not my parents' religion anymore. But I was a vegetarian at one point.
How long?
I was 20 – no, for over a year. This
right.
is like 140 pounds. Now I'm like 190. But
190?
I was way healthier then. But you know why –
225.
You know why I quit being a vegetarian? I felt less funny. It was really weird.
Felt less funny?
Yeah, I felt like I was always more serious because I lost all this weight and I was working out like 5 miles I'd run a day. I was in great shape, but then I didn't feel like I was funny anymore. Like, I felt like I was just this serious guy all of a sudden, and I quit being a vegetarian. It was weird. I'm still not funny, Len. Thanks a lot, pal. Thanks a lot, pal. Yeah, there you go, pal. Mikey, do you have a question for Sam?
No.
Talking to the mic, if you're good.
Is anybody calling in with questions?
Well, we could get... Oh, I hate taking people calling in.
Really?
You want to see if my mother has a question for Sam?
No,
your mom?
No.
Your mom.
She's sitting upstairs.
Hey, Mom,
do we want to bother?
No.
Ma! Ma! Let's call Ma. I don't think Ma likes The Simpsons, though.
I don't care.
She'd never let me watch it. And I don't think she wants to talk about poker, boxing. Oh, she loves dogs. You need to tell my mom about this dog thing. She's going to go through the roof.
Right. What, are you calling upstairs?
Yeah, I'm calling upstairs.
Stop!
Hello.
Hi, Ma.
Hi, Matt.
We're on the phone with Sam Simon here. And
hi,
Sam
Ma.
And yes.
Hello, Mrs.
Hi.
Aaron. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Do you go on the show very much?
I'm not listening tonight.
Why? I kind of feel bad about that.
I'm just never really sure what my son's going to say, so I don't listen very often.
Uh-huh.
So...
Very
often. So it's not because of me.
No, definitely not because of you.
Okay, good. Because I hear you're a big dog person.
Well, we have three running around, so yes.
What kind of dogs do you have?
The oldest one is a Border Collie.
A what? A Border Collie? They're the smartest dogs.
Yeah, he's pretty old, though.
Right.
And my other one
I had a Border Collie. She lived to be 16.
Max is 15 right now.
Yeah.
And he's very slow.
Casey was catching. She was catching frisbees till she was 15 and a half.
No, Max.
Yeah.
She did
great.
A playing dog.
Yeah, and then who else?
Then we have a Jack Russell, which supposedly belongs to Matthew.
We have one of those too. It's annoying.
No, she's the laziest Jack Russell on the face of the earth.
Oh no, this one is a Jack Russell poodle, and it just yips all day. It goes crazy. Any person, even the people he knows, he yips at.
Well, she barks a lot only because the other two bark, and she just barks because she thinks somebody's going to pet her or give her food.
Right.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
And then the last one, we're not really sure what it is.
Heinz 57.
Kind of.
Yeah. What's that dog's name?
Crystal. Crystal. She belongs to my youngest daughter, so yes.
Oh, okay.
That's a black stripper.
Now, does Matt live at home?
Yes, he does.
What about when he went to DePaul? Did he live at home then?
Except for 1 year, he lived at home and he was commuting.
So what do you think of him moving to Los Angeles?
I will miss him. But
oh, I'm sorry. Wait, did you know about that?
Yes, I did know.
Okay, good.
Moving.
Sorry.
Yes, but he was supposed to go in July, so when he came here. Yeah.
Right.
So, I'll miss him, but it'll just be another vacation place to go to.
Yeah.
I'll have a child on each coast, so I can divide my time.
What? Who's the other one?
I,
your daughter?
Matt's one of Matt's sisters lives in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, well, that's a fun place to visit.
Yeah, it's an interesting place.
And is she working down there?
She's looking for a public relations job, but right now she's just working as a waitress.
Oh, okay. Is she's older?
She's younger than Matthew.
Oh, really? Okay.
Matthew's my oldest.
He's the oldest.
Yes.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and set him up with some good job interviews when he gets to L.A.
Well, that would be absolutely wonderful. See,
yeah.
I'm always afraid when he calls me because he usually ends up hanging up on me because he's afraid I'm going to ask somebody to give him a job. But I figure Matt can figure this out on his own, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you know, they wouldn't be giving it to him. He's, you know, if he can, you know, he seems like a pretty funny guy. Was he always funny?
He's been funny for a long time, since he was a baby.
What about when he was a vegetarian and he got all thin? Was he funny then?
Well, I have to think about that. Yeah, he was in his own silly little way. Yeah.
Right.
Silly. You were silly.
Mrs. Aaron, who's your favorite comedian?
Oh, wow.
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
That's like.
No.
She's too young for that.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't. I've seen Jay Leno do his live show twice, and I really
uh-huh.
enjoy him. I'd like to see Seinfeld. Maybe Billy Crystal.
Uh huh.
I don't know.
And how would you say Matt rates compared to, let's say, Jay Leno?
I think Matt has a little ways to go, but
uh-huh.
I think he could hold his own with him.
Okay.
I have a little ways to go. Resounding.
She's getting in the seat of the bus, Matt.
That's a lot of love you're giving me, Matt. Thanks.
Well, it's your birthday week, dear, so I have to be nice to you this week.
Oh, that's right. It is.
Are you going to put plastic on the furniture when I move out?
What, dear?
Are you going to put plastic on the furniture when I move out?
Why would I do that?
Yeah, well, I don't get it.
I'm just obsessed with thinking my mom is going to put plastic on all the furniture.
Do you think
she... Well, I don't have plastic on the furniture
the
now, and I've got three dogs
there.
And a cat roaming around.
Well, yeah, no feet on the couch, though. I don't like that rule. What else?
Matthew, you're a nutcase.
Well, the rules change when I live on my own,
well,
let me tell you.
Feet all over the place. Here's one thing your mom's going to be happy about, though. She's not going to have a bunch of grease balls at her house 3-4 times a week, dirtying and sounding it up, the dogs barking and everything.
Well, you know, one of the grease balls can come over if you would ever bring me some beef.
He don't bring nobody beef. Ma, Sam.
I know that. But he's in my house so much, he feels like he's...
Now, do you know where Matt's going to live in L.A.? Do you know where he's going to live?
I haven't got a clue. And as long as he's not living in his car again,
oh.
I'm fine.
Again?
Oh,
yeah. He went out there 2 years ago, and he was living in his car.
He was homeless?
Well,
here comes the
he
bus.
Thought he was on an adventure.
Right.
He drove the car across country.
Right.
And he was parked on, what was it, Drew Barrymore Street, dear? And he was
parked on Drew Barrymore Street.
Yeah, he went out there to try to do stand-up. He went to the Comedy Store and the Improv, I guess.
Right. How did he know where Drew Barrymore lived?
I don't know. He probably lied to me.
Because when I got robbed, the cops told me.
Oh, that's how you knew. Okay.
They robbed your car?
Yeah, he got robbed.
Well, they took the car keys, they took his computer, they took his wallet, but they left him the car. And I got a call from the Los Angeles Police Department, like 7 a.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun, trying to get his credit card stopped and trying to find him a pair of car keys. And he had no cell phone to call me with, and I was trying to find him a place to stay and go to.
So it sounds like maybe he's like you might be worried about him being here on his own.
As long as he has an apartment to go to, I will not be overly worried.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly somebody in the basement may be going with him, so they can babysit him for a while.
Who, Caesar?
I don't know who's going. I don't know
Pat?
If it's Caesar or Steve or...
Steve?
I don't know.
Steve is going.
Steve
is going.
Is going.
My writing partner. How are we going to write together if he's easier?
I don't know, Matthew.
I don't know, the computer or something.
Yeah, computer.
On the internet.
Right, you know. Yeah, so I don't know. So like I said, as long as he's not living in his car again, it'll be fine.
All right.
So, but I'm kind of trusting Steve to help find someplace decent. Because knowing Matthew, he'll just want to live in the car.
Right.
And since he'll be taking an SUV out this time instead of a Cadillac, he's got a little more room in the back.
A Cadillac?
Yeah, the Cadillac could have been half the reason why he got robbed. By Drew Barrymore.
That's true.
Was that what you meant?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it was just more of an attractive target.
It was more of a... But I think anybody sitting in this car eating a sandwich at 3 o'clock in the morning, no matter where it was, would have been an interesting target.
So the guy came up to him and robbed him?
You were
First he came up to him and asked him if he had a cigarette or something, didn't he, Matt?
Yeah.
And then he shoved a gun in his face, and they tasered him. And
he was robbed at gunpoint, and he got tasered?
Pepper sprayed.
Yeah, he really, if you ever saw his, well, he's got a CD of his one-man show that he did, and he tells the story very funny, but it still kind of scares me a little bit.
I would think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't fun.
Did they ever catch the guy?
No.
Poor guy.
No. No, what they ended up thinking, the guy did break into Matt's computer, and my nephew from Virginia called me and said, "Where's Matthew?" And I said, "He's sleeping upstairs in his room. Why?" And he said, "Oh, because somebody just Facebooked me saying he was Matthew and wants $200, and I'm not supposed to call you."
Oh.
I said, now that would be the guy who stole this computer.
Right.
Well, so we had a few little... those kind of things happening and stuff. But,
that was a weird combination of, like, armed robbery and sophisticated internet fraud.
They were doing all kinds of cute little things and stuff.
Not a guy. It was four big, intimidating gentlemen.
Four? Wait. It used to be two. Now it's up to four?
It was never two. It was always four. You know,
I thought it was two.
So how did this happen again?
I think it'll be five by the end of this conversation.
Look, they asked me if I had weed.
By the way, why would you roll down your window to four guys at 3 in the morning in your car?
Kind of what I was wondering, too.
You were black. What? I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest, okay? I was in
what?
But really what it was...
They had a gun!
Oh, now he had a gun?
He had a gun and he asked you for weed and he had a gun.
Well, he didn't ask me for... No, here's what happened. Two guys fuck up to my car. They asked me if I had any weed. I said, no, I don't have any weed. I was sleeping. At this point, they were walking to their Lincoln Navigator and I knew something was up. I tried to get in the front seat of my car. By the time I do, there's four guys now at my car. They got two guys out of the Navigator. One guy holds a taser to my neck. The other one's holding a gun to my head, and they robbed me. That's what happened.
Okay.
Drew Barrymore.
Were you tased?
She lives in the hills. Yes.
Were you tased?
Yes, tased. Yes, I was tased.
Lives in the hills?
And then Drew Barrymore. And then
she didn't come help you?
No, she didn't come help me. Shocking. And then the two ITI cops come an hour later because there's no cops in L.A., and Roddy Piper got a DUI, and they were busy with him.
Roddy
Piper? Oh, I remember that.
Roddy Piper?
Yes, he was busy with his DUI. So they couldn't come save me. It took them an hour. I go to this guy's house. He let me in his house. We have some beers. He was really nice to me. He called the cops for me, and that was that.
Well, at least you didn't get hit or nothing.
I got tased! At least you didn't get hit or nothing.
What was it like?
It was shocking.
Oh, come on. Did it hurt?
Let's put it this way.
You lose control of all muscles in your body.
Yes, you feel a little weak and you shake, but it was not as bad long-term as getting punched in the face by Lamont Brewster.
Right.
Yeah, how's this all news to everyone?
About my life? I've never really asked the details on it.
Where'd I shower at Burger King every day? I would wash down inside Burger King.
How come you couldn't identify the people? You didn't get the license plate of the car?
Trying to set me up to sound like Mel Gibson.
What?
I thought you were saying why I couldn't identify the people.
Because they were four big black gentlemen.
So, no, but why didn't you get the license plate of the car?
He was tased.
I couldn't get the license plate of the car.
Well, how'd you know it was a Lincoln Navigator?
Because they were parked like three cars in front of me, and as anybody would know, a Lincoln Navigator.
Why didn't you just drive away?
How could I drive away? They took my keys. They tased them.
The second time or the first time?
They took my keys.
They took his keys, and they left him the car, and the cop told me that he thought they just took the keys because they'd go to a club that night and try to sell the car and tell people where the car was located at.
Oh, okay, I get you.
But we managed to get,
stole my fanny pack?
Oh, yeah,
my fanny pack, Mickey Mouse. And my fanny pack had Rogaine. And they stole, what else did they steal? They stole.
Yes, he can afford Rogaine, but he can't afford a hotel.
Stole my laptop with my Tony Danza background on it, which pissed me off. I had a Tony Danza background on my laptop, so they'll never break into it because the password was Who's the Boss? Midget Porn was the password on that one. Who's the Boss is on my computer now.
Good. How about changing that now, dopey?
I'm going to change it now. But they stole my Tony Danza computer, my fanny pack. They didn't go through my cowboy boots and find, like, an extra, like, $1,000, so I got lucky there. But they stole my credit cards, iPod.
Wait. You had $1,000 in cash, and you're sleeping on the side of the street.
Yes.
Showering.
That was my point, gentlemen.
And my iPod has...
Hey, Mrs. Aaron, are you on Twitter?
Yes.
You follow me at Simon Sam, SimonSam.
Oh, okay. I'll do that tomorrow morning when I go up to the computer.
Yeah.
I'll plug you in. Come up as Mama T-Sec.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Matthew.
No, I'm done. I was just...
was there a reason you called me tonight?
Well, I wanted you to know about all the great things Sam does with dogs, but it turned into John Matt.
You know what I do?
Yeah.
Not really.
This is what I do. I take the dogs from the L.A. County shelters. Now, when they're there, they have 4 days to live. Then they get killed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I take the I have trainers, three full-time trainers, four assistants, and they take the dogs, save them.
Okay.
And we take them to a training center in Malibu. We clean them up. You know, a lot of these abused dogs, their jaws have been wired shut.
Oh, yeah.
They have manes. They don't have any fur. They have heartworm. We fix them up, and then we train them to be certified assistance dogs.
Oh,
and we
cool.
give them to deaf people and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to do.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is. It's a very wonderful thing. My little cousin would absolutely love you. She works for a lot of rescue squads in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
She hurts dogs all over the place.
So we'll spay and neuter your pet for free if you're a low-income housing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob Parker.
I could use that. Hold on.
And Sam pays for everything himself, Ma. Sam, don't you have like a three-lot compound in Pacific Palisades? Isn't that what I hear?
What?
Don't you have like a three-lot...
Where I live?
Yeah. This is separate. This is in Malibu, right? Simon Foundation.
Right.
How many do you have at the compound, though, where you live?
How many what?
How many dogs do you personally have at your compound?
Six.
You have six dogs. Yeah, so we just got... Sarah just got two more, so that's five.
No, Sarah got one more. She had a dog. When she comes home...
I'm going to be babysitting five dogs. So, Sam, what's your advice for babysitting five dogs at once?
Well...
let them out a lot.
See, the dogs we have are except for that Jack Russell mix that we have, they're all very calm. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's almost like having, you know, like they're in the room with me right now. I mean, there's a few of them, but, you know, I take them for a walk once a day, and then that's it. They're fine. It's not like, you know, Irish Wolfhounds, Shih Tzus, these are calm dogs. So maybe I'm not the one to ask.
Yeah, well, we don't know how the new puppy is, but
her
other
dog. Learn from the other ones.
Yeah, her other one is a Jack Russell, a poodle, and a Pekingese mix.
No, that's like mixing a shark and a rattlesnake.
Oh.
A poodle and a... That's what mine is. It's a poodle Jack Russell mix.
Okay.
And he was from the... he was wandering the streets of Compton. He's from South Central.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a very bad neighborhood.
And
he was a mess when we got him. Now, you know, I'll give him... He is cute, but he's very annoying.
Yeah. Well, they got the one they just got. I don't know what it is. I think it's a mix, too. They just got them from a shelter.
Do you have a big yard?
No, they live in an apartment.
What?
We have a pretty good-sized yard.
Right. Okay.
So they run around here, and when my daughter from Florida is up, she does like to take them for walks, and she'll walk for miles with them.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, she's like, I don't even, we don't even have, we walk them, they're not even on a leash.
Yeah. Oh, no. The
they're
Jack
all very
Russell,
well behaved.
As lazy as my Jack Russell is, you get her outside and she doesn't know her name. She's going and going and going.
Yeah.
And if she manages to sneak out, it takes hours to catch her.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very careful of where she goes. So. But, Matthew, what are you chuckling about back there?
Urzo just made a funny comment. He goes, we're with the creator of The Simpsons and we're talking about dogs.
You created
well,
The Simpsons?
Well, do you want to,
why don't you tell Sam how you wouldn't let me watch The Simpsons as a kid?
No, I wouldn't let you.
I agree with you.
When
people would say, I love the show, but, it's a little uncomfortable with the kids. I go, why are you letting your kids watch The Simpsons?
Well, I wouldn't let him. He would sneak off and do it.
Well.
So, but.
Did you buy him any stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Gee,
that's what I care. I don't really care if you watch it.
I didn't buy it when he was little, but.
For the DVDs?
No. He has a Homer Simpson Christmas ornament with Homer holding a beer mug.
Oh, that's good.
You did only buy me a clock. With Homer holding a beer mug, yes.
I didn't buy that for you, did I?
Oh, Sarah bought it for me.
Did Sarah get it? I bought you
the ornament.
And then
she got you the ornament.
I also bought a bunch of Buzz Cola that I don't let anyone touch.
That's true. Yeah. Your little cousins wanted to have that one night.
I wish they did have it.
Well, it's pretty old by now, too.
I know, that's why I wish they had it.
Whatever.
They did.
Wait, that's not a Simpsons product.
Buzz Cola?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Sure it is, Sam. I bought it at a Simpsons store.
A Pooh sells it all the time.
They had nothing else to do, so they got a call.
What?
Yeah, Buzz Cola.
No, Buzz Beer is on the Drew Carey show.
Duff Beer.
That's a Simpsons.
Yeah, Duff Beer. And Buzz Beer is on Drew Carey.
Well,
and,
Brand
of Buzz Cola. There is a thing called Buzz Cola.
Yeah. Creator of the news, everybody.
We have a six-pack of that sitting downstairs.
Yeah, I know, but it's a real cola.
Yeah, and Matt, it's been sitting there for about 10 years.
It's a cola with more caffeine.
Yeah, but it's pretty much like Krusty.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Jolt.
Yeah, Jolt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All right, Matt, send him a picture of it.
You haven't watched the show in a while, have you?
Look, if I had to watch it to get the checks, I'd be happy to watch it.
Well, the season you worked on, the
your
first
mom is laughing at me.
I know you actually worked on a few seasons, but the first season was probably the best because I love Albert Brooks, and that had a great Albert Brooks episode.
Yeah, people said that was our first great episode, and Albert, I mean, he was amazing. He ad-libbed, of course, the entire character and a lot of it. But I would say the second season is... But see, I only know like five seasons. So, but I thought the second season was amazing.
I do love the softball episode, too, with Homer and all the... Yeah, the natural.
Oh, all the players. I have an autographed Now, see, that was me. Listen, I'm the greatest producer. I said, like, why don't we just, you know, like, look, we'll do a temp track, make it, because it was supposed to be just another team. I said, make it an all-star baseball team. And just every time somebody comes in to play the Angels or the Dodgers, we'll send a microphone down and we can get, like, this insane all-star team and have the real guys on it.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Wasn't that a good idea? Jeff Martin wrote that Talking Baseball parody, and I have an autographed ball of that team.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Daryl, yeah, I didn't know.
Even though I have absolutely no idea what you guys are talking about.
We
had a team on The Simpsons that was all real Major League Baseball players.
Okay, well, that part I figured out. It's just that I very seldom ever watch The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of times that I have watched it, I've seen the same episode
like six times. Which one?
I've seen the same episode like six times.
What happens in it?
Bart? Well.
Homer?
Yeah. Oh, Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown?
Yeah.
Sideshow Bob. Wow.
And Sideshow Bob, yes. When Sideshow Bob is getting rid of Krusty, I think.
Oh, okay. That was a good one.
A pool?
Yeah.
No, Sideshow Bob tries to kill Bart all the time, Ma.
Yeah, but didn't
he gets rid of Krusty the first time he's on.
Oh,
yeah.
Ma knows more about it than I do, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the same episode I don't know how many times. Every time it happens to be on, if I walk in the room, that's the one that's on.
She wouldn't let me watch Married with Children or Beavis and Butthead either.
You didn't grow up real well, did you?
No, he grew up pretty well. I just didn't let him at 10 years old watch some of that stuff. I was going to say something else, but I won't be.
So you're going to follow me at Simon Sam?
Sure.
On Twitter?
Sure, I'll do that.
I mean,
okay. I'm watching to see if you sign up.
Okay, well, it says Mama T-Sex, so you'll see it.
For you, though. He's literally on the computer looking at his email waiting for you to...
And okay, I'm literally not anywhere near my computer.
Oh, okay.
I will do it in the morning when I turn my computer on.
All right. Okay.
I don't know if that's a for sure, then. She forgets a lot.
I don't forget a lot.
And you do forget a bit.
No.
Okay.
No.
Agreed.
Just because I tell you I forget to cook doesn't mean I really forget to cook.
No, it means you really forget to cook.
No, it really means I don't want to cook.
So, Mike, do you have a question for Sam or my mother?
You know, it was lost about a half hour ago.
What was it?
I had all these questions for Sam, and it turned into...
Well, let's get to them. Come on.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you guys continue talking.
Let's get rid of them, and you and I can keep talking.
This is like
Kelly,
NPR.
Jeffy, Raphael, let's get them all over here.
I'll tell you what. When Matt moves out to L.A., if I come out there, I would love to meet you.
Okay, you come out to the foundation. You can see all the dogs.
Oh, I would love to come out and see all the dogs. That would be absolutely wonderful. I would love to do that. But it was very nice talking to you, sir. You have a lovely evening chatting with my son.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, bye, Ma. Oy vey.
How long was that?
Oh,
too long.
My Ma, I forgot she likes to gossip.
I know, but how long was it? Was that like, how long was I talking to your mom?
Probably 20 minutes, 25
okay.
minutes.
Huh?
You got friends now. I think you passed the friend zone.
Okay, good.
You know,
but you didn't seem like you had a real plan. You know, when you're saying like opportunity and preparedness and all that, like
I thought Ma would have like a.
I know, but your thing in a car. You're sleeping in a car.
Well, Sam, I was I just got off of. I was addicted to drugs, addicted to booze before this. I had a real bad drug problem, and I finally got off it, and I finally cleaned up, and I decided I was just going to drive out there. I needed to do something crazy.
So you were still, okay.
Yeah, and so I just decided, all right, I'm going to go out there. I'll sleep in my car. I just want to perform once at the Comedy Store, which I did, and then...
How'd you do?
The black audience loved me. The white audience... did not as much because they were mostly comedians.
Right.
Comedians don't like other comedians, I find.
No. And the ones they like are no good.
Right, right. And so I kind of got out of stand-up comedy. I mean, I'm not out of it. I still do it here and there. But I kind of got out of it to do this show because I figured I just don't like that community. I don't like the jealousy. I don't like the fighting. I don't like the gossiping. So I'm going to do my own show. And in this case, instead of maybe one person sees me at a stand-up club or one person sees me at the improv or whatever, or doing improv at Second City, which I also left, they can just listen to this show. I do it all the time.
Okay.
So that was my plan. I mean,
so why do you have to go to L.A.?
Well, because who's going to fucking pay me to come out to L.A. or to do a job from here? Nobody.
Nope.
I got to go where the business is. I got to go where the jobs are.
So do you sell the podcast?
No, I do it for free. I do it because I want to do it, and I want to listen to these stories and learn, and I have fun. And we have fun. We have a good time. It's a chance for me to hang out with all my friends before I leave.
Okay, well, ask me a few more questions, then I'll go.
Okay, well, I got a few more questions for you.
All right.
First of all,
I haven't really told any stories.
No, I wanted you to tell the story, actually. I know you've told this on Stern, but I need to do it for my audience, about when you went to the Mercedes dealership in your sweatpants.
True story? I actually went to a Mercedes dealer to get pick up, like when I had bought a like that little convertible.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the floor mats. So I went to pick up the floor mats from the parts department, and while they were looking for them, I went, and they had just started an SUV, and I was dressed kind of sloppy, and it was in the showroom floor, and I was looking at it, and I was curious because I needed an SUV. I didn't really need it, but you know how you look at someone and you expect them to like come over and
they want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at him expectantly. If it was writing a stage direction, it would be Sam looks at the guy expectantly, and he's just like ignoring me. So another salesman came out of the back, and I took out my American Express black card, and I said, I'll take this car. I bought it off the showroom floor, and I did it to spite this guy who made me feel small. And he got really upset. I mean, that's the thing. I got a very nice SUV, but I also got it made him as mad as I could hope for. It worked.
Yeah. You know what else I want to know is I have a feeling. This is just a feeling. I don't know if I've ever heard you say this, but I would think if I was you, your favorite moment in your career actually was probably managing Lamont Brewster and becoming manager of the year. Wouldn't you say, am I wrong?
The night he won the championship, which was an amazing fight, he knocked out Vladimir Klitschko.
Yeah.
It was because he really did not have the best of it for four rounds. And he took a knee, but it was the only knockdown of his career, and that Lehman got knocked down, and I'd say about 50 of my friends were there, maybe more, you know, and his family, and we had stuck with Lehman for years, and a lot of people said nothing was ever going to happen, so it was as happy a night and as great a feeling as I've ever had. It was just great. I don't know. Did you see the fight? It's on YouTube. You can watch it. But Larry Merchant yelled at me because I was happy. I was going, woo, woo, woo. He goes, I'm going to stop this interview unless you shut up. It's like, wait a minute. I've seen you interview like all of a sudden, because, you know, we had knocked out their kid. It's like HBO loves the Klitschkos.
Yeah.
So I think they were kind of against us.
Well, now what about the World Series of Poker? You're going to win one of these years, right? You're going to win. Because I know you've made it far. I know you're doing well in it. But, I mean, come on. You got to win.
I cashed again this year in the main event. I'm going to get a lot of airtime on – I mean, I – honestly, I really screwed up. I shoved on a – I had a mountain of chips. I was one of the chip leaders for the first 3 days.
I know. I was following.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just – it was just one of those things where it was probably a mistake. But yeah, I'm a really good tournament poker player. The only thing is I don't play that often, and this year we went on a vacation to Italy, you know, in the middle of the World Series, so I didn't get to play that much, and I definitely feel I could win. You know, I've come close to making final tables a few times, I'm really good at final table. I hope to play more and win more, but you know, it's really fun, and it's people, like, especially at the World Series, you know, that's 14 hours a day of that shit. You know, you can start at noon and play till 4 in the morning, and I think that's one reason the kids do so good is they're, you know, that there is like an endurance factor to it.
Yeah,
I get a kick. I mean, I like winning more than I like playing. You're folding a lot of the time, and like especially in, you know, in a no limit tournament, you can be out just about any hand.
Well,
unless you had a big monster pile of chips like I do, I could have gone all in and lost against every person at the table in a row, and I would still have more chips than them, but some guy sat down with 1.5 million chips and he pissed me off, so I shoved on him and he had flopped a set. So how that happens.
For people that don't know a lot about poker listening, I mean, you sit there and you play hands, but you don't really play each hand. It's actually like it can go sometimes 7-8 hands before you actually play. So, you know, it's a long, time-consuming game.
Right.
Because I play, and I'll be... Now, you know, I don't want to give away my secrets, actually, because I think I'm actually decent. I'm decent at poker, Mike.
You want to go out to Indiana? We can sit down at the poker table for a while?
Horseshoe.
Or the poker room.
Yeah, I think we should. Because you know what my trick is?
No limit?
No one in Indiana is listening to this. So you know what my trick is?
What's
Here's the trick. I am at a fault honest. So people think I'm lying when I'm being honest.
Right.
And that's my move. So when they think that I'm bluffing, I'm not really bluffing. If I tell you I have a 2 and a 9, I have a 2 and a 9.
Right.
And people don't buy it. They're like, uh-oh, he's got a couple aces. Hey, you know, people fall for it all the time. Be too honest, and people won't. You got to choose your right moments, though. But that's how I end up getting ahead of the game. I'm too honest. I don't lie. But now that everyone knows that, now if Sam ever sat at the table...
Well, now, in the World Series, you're not allowed to talk about your hand.
Oh, you're not allowed to talk at all?
No, and you're not allowed to ask about your hand.
Well, I don't know if I like
that. The other person's hand, rather.
I don't like these poker games with no gossip.
Yeah.
Gossip.
So, you know, you can say, like, well, why'd you bet? You know, like, you know, you can kind of dance around, but they shut down the talk.
Now, are you in that?
Isn't that part of the game?
Yeah. It is part of the game, if you
ask
me.
I mean, all the talking and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not allowed.
Now, you know what is interesting? We've had Sam Levine on the show. We've talked about Hank Azaria. Josh Molina's been on the show. Do you play poker with any of those guys out
there? I have played with all of them.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it, yeah. And they all love playing
the
poker.
The best... you know, I don't know if I'm a celebrity. I'm the best tournament player.
You sure are.
Of Hollywood. I mean, I don't think there's anybody. Well, except Jennifer Tilly is better. She's great.
Well, yeah.
And she's won her bracelet, and she won the Bellagio 5K. I mean, she's really good. But, you know, I would say Josh put a... You know, he put a bad beat on me in a tournament and, you know, and, like, just acted like, okay, well, you know, I rivered a set. Uh-huh. You know, and he just, like, You know, like in a Hollywood thing, like when you go, oh, man, I'm sorry, or something like that. So I kind of have a weird feeling about him from that experience. Like he should have been gone, and instead I was. And then Hank is really good. Sam, you know, I don't know. He's not so good.
No, but you guys actually, I've heard you guys have actually held grudges over other people because of poker games. Like, I don't know if you do, but I've heard it happen.
I know that, like, the game, and you know, this has all calmed down a lot. They're, like, there's not so much poker anymore. Like, the regular games that I used to go to don't exist anymore. You know, I used to occasionally go to the Tobey Maguire game, and he's great. I mean, he is really, really good.
Yeah.
But the ones, you know, the and these aren't big stakes games. They're made for, mostly for fun. But, you know, there are some people that, you know, left on bad terms that just never came back. You know, it's very emotional.
I believe it. Well, yeah. I told Josh Molina I'll go, but I don't have enough money to play, so I'll just go fetch Aaron Sorkin cigarettes or whatever's needed.
Right. Does Aaron Sorkin play?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure he plays too well. I hear he's not that good. But, yeah, I heard Sarah Silverman's no good either, actually.
Sarah Silverman, I played with her. She's good. She plays Omaha.
Oh, you think she's good? We've heard differently. That's interesting.
Well, she sure is funny.
Yeah, she is funny.
Yeah. Well.
She is funny.
Yeah.
She is very funny. She just sold, they're battling over who's going to get her sitcom right now. She's pitching a sitcom, and she's got three networks in the bidding war for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so good for her. I like Sarah Silverman a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
She seems like a really cool person.
She's good for the elephants, too.
I tell you what. When I read that, I told Steve. Steve's with me now. I told Steve, remember the circus?
I do.
Fuck the circus.
Yeah.
Can I just get that out there? I fucking hate the circus.
Horrible.
It's like shit. They lie.
You know, and that's one, like we were saying before, like about, like, you know, if you knew what went on. I mean, people, like, it's changing now. But if you go to ringlingbeatsanimals.com and you look at some of those pictures or you look at the video, you will never go again. I mean, people love elephants. Like, you know, like people love dogs and they love elephants and they like the orcas and stuff. So when they see these animals are abused, they get really upset. And then, you know, that's kind of like the entry-level animal for the animal rights, you know, because then you go, well, really, you care about the elephants, but you don't care about cows? And then if you care about the cows, you got to care about the pigs, and then you got to care about the chickens. It's like a slippery slope, you know. But the elephant stuff is, it's so barbaric. You know, there's a lot of countries it's not allowed. I mean, we're really, you know, backward and barbaric as far as allowing this stuff, and it is illegal. You know, Ringling Brothers gets cited for their mistreatment of these animals all the time, and they just, you know, they just keep doing it.
Yeah, and these doctors lie about the condition of some of these animals, too.
Of course. It's all cover-ups. It's all lies. This elephant, Sarah, is that what you're talking about? The one that broke down being loaded onto the boxcar 3 days ago or 4 days ago?
Yeah, it was like, it was this week. I know that.
Yeah, you know, that's the one that I personally paid to bring a vet in to examine the elephants before the, before Ringling performed. And because we knew this one had health issues. And because, you know, they had to agree on the guy. The guy did a horrible job. He didn't know which one was the one that was hurt, and he spent 90 seconds per animal for every animal: lion, tiger, monkey, dog, an elephant in the circus, and just said, oh, it all looks okay. And then, sure enough, when they're loading that thing out of loading Sarah, she collapsed and fell on the ground, and then they, you know, she's performing tonight.
Steve, you have a question for Sam, but by the way, are you following Sam on Twitter yet?
Steve? No.
Hi, Sam. This is Steve Wyrecki here. As per rule, when we are doing the show, my phone is off. So
right.
I have to wait until we're done with the show in turn.
All right.
On.
But you will add him on the Twitter.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Didn't
okay,
know you,
good.
To be honest, we're Facebook.
Simon
bud.
Sam. Simon Sam.
We're friends on Facebook. I forgot you were on Twitter. My Twitter's really dark and disturbing. I only have like 37.
Well, I'm not going to follow you.
No, please don't.
Okay.
I don't want you to.
That's... I love how Sam's on. I'm not following you.
No. And I wouldn't ask you to. That's like charity. That's charity work you don't need.
Correct.
So,
go ahead. But Steve's my writing partner, so he's a big,
Steve.
He's a big television buff, too. So go ahead.
Okay.
Just clarification. I didn't go to DePaul. I went to a little school called Columbia College in
Chicago.
It is little. Yeah. So I need to ask, you know, throughout your career, or actually, no, the first time you had something made, where you see your words on screen, like, what was that process for you? Because I've only had one thing produced at school, and I've had countless times where I've blown up at school and gotten really mad because people are playing politics and not liking
right.
my work.
So are you asking how Sam felt when he actually saw...
Yes.
Has Sam ever seen something on screen, though, that wasn't what he exactly writ?
Yes, that too. Yes.
I kind of feel like Sam's had a lot of control over his work.
And at least, you know, in TV, I always was part of the staff and part of the process, you know, so I was there when the changes were being made. And TV, you know, like, you know, we, on those shows... on Cheers and Taxi and blah, blah, blah. You know, we just made them better all the time. So I would say the one thing that resonates to me about your experience is that I started in the world of Saturday morning cartoons, and I was a character designer and storyboard artist.
Right.
And then they had me write them, and I never thought of being a writer. I always thought I'd be a cartoonist. And I would write these things. And, you know, I'm not sure they were so great, but, oh, my God, were they awful. I mean, this was the worst. This was Filmation Studios. And the only good thing they did was Fat Albert, which was okay.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was just junk. And so now I was a writer, and I would write these things. And then really the next time I would have anything to do with them was when I would watch them on air. You know, I wouldn't hear the actors. They never rewrote anything. They never fixed anything. You know, they brought the actors in, and they go, this guy's playing this guy. Let's get all his lines. And that's a horrible way to work. And then they bring in the next guy the next day, and they never played off of each other. They never, you know, and you could tell, and it was for kids, and I guess it didn't matter that much. But that's why on The Simpsons I said, we have to do this like a radio show. We need to, you know, do it scene by scene. The actors have to follow the story through. And so when I would see those shows, I just said, well, if I'm a writer, I might as well write for something good. And that's why I wrote the Taxi spec script and sent that in, because it's horrible seeing. And again, I'm not sure my scripts were so good at that point, but they were better than the way they turned out.
What do you think?
And those were shows... You know, people say, well, what shows were they? And they go, I go, well, they were Mighty Mouse. They were Heckle and Jekyll. And they go, those were good. And they go, no. This is the new adventure. They weren't those old theatrical cartoons. These are you know, limited animation. When you wrote them, you had to, there was a book of stock footage, and you had to make sure your script was like 45% stock footage.
Oh, that would have driven me nuts.
You had to stick in, like, Mighty Mouse flying around, or Mighty Mouse looking at his through his telescope and talking to the camera, so it was very limiting.
Yeah, it seems that way. You definitely are in league of your own in that aspect.
He's a legend.
Oh, yeah. And actually, because I'll say this, I got an email a few months ago from the sketch instructor that I had, and he goes, hey, the sketch you pitched is going into production. And I thought, I'm like, oh, my God. How did this happen? Like, you know, because
everyone else forgot to write one.
Possibly because I usually always kept to myself in the writer's room, or I'd make these backhanded comments.
This is in school.
Oh yeah, this is in school because
right.
my school has they broadcast television shows at my school
right, that
no one watches, just like the dorms. They air them in the dorm,
sure.
And that kind of, so we get practice. But
at the end of the term, we all had to pitch these sketches, and I'm like, all right, well, here, it's for a grade. Do whatever you want to do with it. And then I get this mail. He's like, yeah, went into production. I'm like, oh, that's wow. Like, what happened? And I won't even look at the rewrite because I'm afraid that I'm going to be pissed. But, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah. Now, I was going to ask Sam, though, what do you think of the current TV structure? What about the current landscape of television? Anything good there? What should we do?
You know, like TV, there used to be, when I started, there were three networks that programmed primetime entertainment, and it was a little bit of the news hours, probably like 60 minutes, and you know, maybe there was 20, I'm not sure, but the rest was half hour comedies, and variety was dead, so it was hour dramas. And now there are many, many networks. There are sort of the Survivor, American Idol, Big Brother, those are kind of game shows. And then there's reality shows, both the sort of more real ones and you know what I mean, it's there's a whole spectrum of how real that stuff is, and some of it isn't very real, you know. It's sort of like the Kardashians is just kind of a scripted sitcom that they fool around in, and then, you know, the other ones, they kind of like Real Housewives, they're clearly kind of tweaking stuff. And you know, when they go, oh, I thought it would be good if I had lunch with this person I hate so that we could hash things. You know, that's like the producer's idea to do that. But there's so much junk now, but most of it was always junk. A lot of it was bad. There has always been great TV, but I would say now, I mean, really, if there were like three nights of TV three channels, of all the stuff on TV, you know, like there used to be. I mean, this would be an amazing time for television. I mean, there's like Breaking Bad is an unbelievable show. You know, there's nothing I enjoy more than Big Brother or when there's a good Survivor. There's just so much compelling stuff. I'm not sure the comedies are strong anymore because I think reality TV has kind of supplanted that and I think it's more for older viewers that still kind of like that form. But I would say the landscape, you know, when I look at my list of shows that I go, you know, there's 15 shows I think are great, and on the other hand, like, there was a show on NBC, I think. There was a Will I Am science special. Did anybody see that? It was on ABC, as a matter of fact. Did anybody see that on Sunday?
No.
I mean, this could never have been on TV in a million years. And this was in prime time on ABC, I think. And it was like some, you know, it's like you could tell, like, Will I Am walked into these dopes' office and wanted to do a TV show. And they said, you know, will the Black Eyed Peas be in it? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure, I'll get him there. And, you know, and it's like about this, one of these high school robot competitions, you know. And it kind of follows that, and it's supposed to be inspirational for the kids. In the meantime, the, you know, Fergie's running around. it was just a big mess. And so, I look at Breaking Bad, and I go, well, couldn't this have been on NBC? I mean, is it really that? Is it the language? Is it the themes? I mean, why is that stuff so bad?
Well, what about the violence? I mean, but we could talk about Breaking Bad a little. I don't think anyone, the first episode of this season. No, Mike, I can't. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
Really? That far? Bro, that was. By the way, we're going to.
But wait. I mean, like, is it the violence that, you know, I mean, to me, it's like the thing that's great about the show is these story turns. You know, I'd say is the drug use so
It's meth.
Meth. Yeah, the drug and the drug content, and you're gonna have parents who are gonna go through the roof.
And there's a little language on the show. There's an S word here and there.
But you know, if you watch The Sopranos on A&E, like, I mean, I watched it the first time through, and that was an amazing, fantastic show. You know, I think maybe the greatest hour in TV history and the best last episode in TV history.
Yeah.
You know, but that's your fans for you. You know, it's like they don't like the last 1 second of the series and they get all pissed off. And on top of that, it's fantastic. And they just don't get it. It's a little different. So they go, oh, they get all pissed off at you. But, you know, but you can watch The Sopranos on, I don't know if it's on Bravo or A&E, the reruns, and it's just fine. It's really entertaining. It's great. So, like, you know, I don't know whether it makes any difference to the people that do, The Walking Dead was amazing. Did you watch that? That was on AMC, too.
I didn't really get into Walking Dead.
You know, oh, my God, that was great. But anyway, there's more great television now than
how
ever.
How did Frank Darabont left that show? Is it going to be any good?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much they followed the comic books, and I don't know who did what. I just know they did... I don't know. Did they do 13 or 11 or something like that? Every one of them was great, and every one of them had, like, an ending that you went, whoa!
And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of, speaking of reality shows, I'm kind of addicted to that Ice Loves Coco, and I'm kind of addicted to Housewives. And I watch Housewives.
I watch The Housewives. What could be better?
Yeah, I don't want to get married because of it, but I love Housewives, and yeah. I like the Ice Loves Coco. Because Ice-T, he's just Ice-T.
He's great.
He's just Ice-T.
Love Ice-T.
And Coco.
Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, Coco and her
kids. And it's a sitcom. It's a friggin' sitcom.
Right.
Now they got remedial people writing it, but you know, but it's a sitcom. It really is.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the Kardashians with Ice-T and Coco. There you go.
Yeah,
but except funnier, I believe.
Yeah.
But Housewives is great. You just are not going to want to marry any woman ever again.
Well, I tweeted today at Simon Sam. I said, you know, whenever I watched Beverly Hills Housewives, I'd say to myself, if I were married to one of them, I'd kill myself. And then one of the guys did.
Yeah, killed himself today. Yeah. They just told me that. I didn't know about that. Don't get mad. I'm not going to get mad. Why would I get mad?
What? Spoiler alert?
You did. Wait, is that a spoiler alert? Is he really?
No, they're probably not even going to do the show.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good. Okay.
That's how far it is from reality. When something really happens, cancel the show.
The whole show.
Oh, boy.
You spoiled my show, you selfish
you
bastard.
You should say that at the eulogy.
Yourself.
Yeah, say that at the eulogy.
I'm going to go to the eulogy, and I'm going to say you spoiled my show.
Oh, God.
How selfish can you be? Look, I know for a fact Kelsey Grammer wanted Camille to do that show. You know Kelsey Grammer, Sam. Did he want
her? I do. I know her, too.
Did he want Camille to do the show?
I don't know. Maybe just to show why he, just to make sure people understood why he was getting divorced.
Oh, that's a good point. I buy that.
Well, I believe.
So she would be the villain in an ugly divorce?
Yeah.
Well, she claims that he wanted her to do it real bad. But she claims it was because he wanted to be able to cheat on her while she was doing the show. That was what Camille said.
That's a good reason.
How did you get involved with Howard Stern, Sam? Throughout all the years that I've heard you on the show, and you come on the show and you add a lot to it, but how
is
through your friendship with Howard? Did you guys?
Well, you know, they talk about me more than I actually call in or something, but I was a huge fan of the show, and I used to travel with Drew, who's very funny and doesn't need me. But, like, when he would do publicity and stuff, I would go with him. And, you know, if he wanted to talk about, hey, well, you know, what if I say this? How, you know, is this a story I can do or anything? I'd just be there as kind of like a sounding board, you know. And they said, you know, you can go on the Howard Stern show. And I said, oh, you got to do it. And he goes, I don't know. And so I said, no, you got to do it. But it was so I could, you know, go in. And You know, the thing about the show is, like, if you're a fan of it, like, if you're a fan of the Drew Carey, like, you know, that's off the air, but, like, when people were fans of the Drew Carey show, and they say, can I come, you know, see an episode be done, you'd sit in the audience, and, you know, you'd watch them things, but the Howard Stern show, if you're a fan, you can become, like, part of it. And so he, you know, so Gary came in and said, and Krista Miller came on, too, I think. No, that was a separate time. But the first time they go, hey, you know, Drew's got this friend and da da da. So I came in and I was just in heaven, and I stayed friends with Gary, and then Artie, you know, I had met on the Norm show, and so when he got on the show, I kind of, you know, was drawn in more, and I'm friendly with Howard, who was a genius and the funniest guy, and the guy that's given me more entertainment than any human being that ever walked the earth. I just, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan. I'm thrilled to be a friend of the show and a friend of his. And it just, that's how it happened. It was like just a bunch of different stuff. And then Ralph, you know, it's like I would go up to Vegas when they would, and that's when I met Ralph, and then we became friends to the point where he has a wing of my house.
Really? He has a wing in your house?
Well, he has the guest house we call Ralph's house.
Oh, my God. Do you have a map to your house? Is like in your house, is there like a...
I should have a map. It'd be really cool. I thought about doing that. There's like you know, a lot of stuff that's kind of interesting.
Far here. Yeah, X. No, I like Ralph. I don't have a problem with Ralph. I think Geek Time's a great little show. Here's my deal, though. Is Ralph the way they portray him on the show where he be... Did he have to, like, stalk you to be his friend like they claim?
Not at all. I don't know. But, okay. You know, the weird thing about that is, like, he may be Howard's best friend.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the stuff... It's the stuff that works on the show, and it's fun, and there's certainly elements of truth to it. But like the thing is, as far as Ralph being a mooch or Ralph like do, you know, I don't think any of I don't have a sense of that at all. I don't, you know, like I have, like if I go, hey, you know, I got a lot of money. If I'm renting a house in Hawaii and I want to, you know, Ralph to come, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, I get him a ticket. But like he's coming out, I think Saturday. I don't pay for him. I like when Ralph's staying in the house. He's fun to have around.
No, I just figured.
I hope if people make money, they do stuff for their friends.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I just need to meet.
Fuck them. Are you allowed to swear on your show?
Yeah, you could fucking swear
on it.
All
right. Okay. Is your mom on the phone?
No, she's not on the phone.
Okay.
She would have probably slapped you in the back of the head.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I don't mean to interrupt or interject, but yes, Matt's mom goes onto my Facebook and tells me I can't swear in her basement.
And you can't swear on Facebook. She's the Facebook police.
Can I swear in your basement, Sam?
Does Sam have a basement? It's L.A.
Can you what?
Are you allowed to swear in the Sam Simon house? Is that your question?
Sure.
I have a feeling there's a couple F-words being dropped over there. Yeah. It's casual. It's a casual F. That's like when I call you guys motherfuckers. I don't mean it in a bad way.
No.
It's like a comma to me.
A good MF.
Yeah,
I can't say
it's
that.
It's a comma. That's what it is.
It's a comma.
It's like, oh, Steve, you motherfucker. It's like, oh, Steve, you old so-and-so, you. Yeah, I'm a fucker. That's all. It's all it is. Oh, Lenny wants a cigarette so bad, I could tell. You guys are not lively today.
I can taste it.
I've never seen people, like, so not lively.
What?
I don't know. Are you guys all tired?
I'm excited.
Do you need Flintstone vitamins?
Yes. The Flintstones, kid.
Mikey, you got to go through a
it's
whole...
It's that beef.
It is that beef. It is that beef. Sleeping pill drizzled in that Italian beef. What time did I wake up today?
Crack of dawn.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. I don't sleep, pal. I am writing and working all the time. Are you kidding? Oh, because when I'm not texting, that means I'm asleep?
Yes.
Is that what you've
clearly
decided?
No,
clearly.
When you're not Facebooking.
Oh, boy.
I didn't Facebook all day.
Lies.
I don't Facebook that often.
Whoa, can we get on topic here? I don't like where this is going. We need to get back on topic.
Where was it going?
About ball busting session two of you. And we already had enough of that.
I'm not a little broad on Facebook.
Oh, my. Oh, I tried. I tried.
Fracano, am I really on Facebook that often?
Every 35, 40 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Hey, how long is your show?
Until Sam Simon hangs up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Air for the next 6 hours.
When Ron Zimmerman was on, took him like 2 hours to tell five stories about him trying to kill himself. And then we could have gone more than 3 hours. I had to stop him and tell him I was tired and my ass was sore.
Oh, okay.
In sleep.
But
I've been on for 2 hours.
Oh, well, you're approaching Ron Zimmerman's record.
No, I don't want the record.
No, you don't want it. You don't want it. You don't want any record to do with this show. Like, we may have to promote this as Sam Simmons came on the show.
All right.
I don't want to embarrass you. but we have quite a few listeners tonight.
We do.
Yeah, it's real bad. Yeah, we have like two or three listeners. No.
No, Matt, do you think this is weird? I think Sam should teach. Like,
teach?
I think he should teach. I think he's easy to
talk to. I don't think
to.
The school system could handle
no,
Sam.
No, I mean, like, college. They, like, teach.
I know. I'm saying I don't think the college school system could handle Sam.
Wow.
No, because Sam, here's what I'm imagining Sam's life's been like. People are telling Sam what to do. He does it his way. It turns out he's right every single time or close to it. And that's where college is. They tell you what to do.
Oh, yeah, college would hate you. Never. I'm just saying from an aspect where you're easy to talk to, you have a lot of knowledge.
I get this feeling, if you listen to Sam Simon, you would possibly go further than you would if you didn't.
Ah.
Yeah. And I don't think colleges want that kind of guy having that power.
While we're wrapping things up, I will say something very interesting that I have noticed, that when I started back before HD, before computers, before all this stuff, the writers, none of them wanted to be comedy writers. They all fell into it. They were all doing something else, and they felt this calling. So they were English teachers, lawyers, accountants. And that is a big difference. So, like, when you say, like, college, like, to me, the idea of learning comedy writing is, like, kind of lame, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I understand that. I just grew up, though, watching this stuff, and we love it. So, We're kind of not good at anything else. I can act and I can write, and that's about it.
No, I'm saying I understand wanting to do it.
And I can make SpaghettiOs. That's about it.
I have friends that teach, and I go in, and it's like, and they go, well, what's your favorite episode of The Simpsons? That's not going to help you.
But, yeah, you must love answering that question.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I was thinking of the school, because we've had Carl Reiner come to our school a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's, I don't know, it'd be kind of nice if, I don't know.
Carl Reiner, he's a legend.
He is. That's why I don't know what he
can do.
Lenny, do you want to ask Sam your story real quick? All right, Lenny wants to hear one Danny DeVito story before we let you go.
What?
Or an Andy Kaufman story. That's what they want.
Well, this is what I'll tell you about Andy Kaufman is that Man in the Moon stuff, my experience with Andy, that's all a fiction. Andy was eccentric. He liked putting people on. I was not there the first season of the show when Tony Clifton came on. But Andy said he was Tony Clifton. Andy didn't... he was very professional. It's very curious to me that this guy Bob Zamuda, do you know who he is?
Yes, Bob Zemuda, yes.
Like, he does Tony Clifton now, I think, and he wrote that book, but my experience with Andy was nothing like that. He was only, when there was an episode about Latka, he would be there all week. When there wasn't, he would come in for the run-through, and he would come in for the show, which was very reasonable. That was his deal. And he wasn't even in every episode, but he would take the script, and he was very, I don't know, he had some ability. He was like a kid, you know, he could just thumb through the script. That's the only time he ever looked at it. And then he, you know, he didn't learn the dialogue exactly, but he didn't have to. And then we shot the show, and he was great, you know. So I'm a big fan. He was not this crazy man-child that was lost in these characters that didn't, you know, he was very reasonable to me.
So Lenny wanted to also know, and what is it? Why don't you ask him yourself? I got to ask him, how hot was Mary Lou Henner on Taxi?
Oh, how she was extremely hot, and not only that, she's just as hot now. Because you know why? She's a vegan.
She's a vegan.
Wow.
There you go, Lenny. Oh, she's lost some hotness. I think she gained some.
And I think she has, too. I think she's hotter now. And I'm not, you know, they go like, you know, a lot of they go, oh, she looks, you know, they say this person looks great. And I go, no, they look like an old version of this, but she looks fantastic. And, you know, she's got that crazy memory thing, which I kind of knew about at the time because she, you know, I knew that she had an amazing memory, and like the thing that it manifested is like she would go, oh, can I, with when Lee would give out the cab assignment, she remembered every number that everybody got in every episode.
What?
Seemingly.
Wow.
And she would go like, oh, well, you know, don't give Jim cab 316, because when in 36, you know, this is a, and she'd have some reason, or she would want cab 82 because of this. So I knew there was some, you know, something kind of odd about that, but I didn't know she is one of the six people in the world with perfect recall of everything that ever happened to her that I guess is now a TV show.
Yeah, she was on 60 Minutes, Steve.
Yeah, she was on 60 Minutes, and there's a crime drama on some network now based on that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And Sam was on 60 Minutes for the Sam Simon Foundation. So
yes.
I just want to remind people about the Sam Simon Foundation before we let Sam go.
Okay.
Remind people.
Music to my ears.
Simon Sam on Twitter. You have.
Yes, that's a big one.
And I also want to remind people to buy Simpsons merchandise so Sam gets a little richer.
The DVDs.
DVDs is a big deal.
I'd rather buy the Cheers DVDs. Is that all right?
No, Sam doesn't touch off the Cheers DVDs. You fool. You have. When's Winnie Cooper coming on? Would you shut up?
Let's see.
The Wonder Years? What does Sam care about the Wonder Years?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 followers.
So how many did you want? 10? You got Steve and my mom.
No, 8's good. 8's good.
Oh, you got Steve and my mom soon. And
yeah.
I'll promise you this, Sam. The next time you come on, I'll get you another 10. And you and Ron Zimmerman should sit in on a show together in L.A.
That'd be great. I love Ron.
Ron wants to do
it. Yeah, I know. 10 followers. That's like 1 an hour.
That's more than Baba Buhai. So you
go
tell Gary. I got loyal fans here.
Yeah.
Who does Sam Simon follow on Twitter? Lenny wants to know, who's your favorite Twitter follow? Who do you follow that you love?
I don't, you know, like, I'm not really that interested in other people, but Steve Martin is real funny.
I guess.
What?
I guess. I don't really follow him on Twitter either. I'm kind of with
him. Yeah, I mean, when he starts, you know, there's a learning curve to it, but he's really funny now.
But this is what I love about Sam, though. There's this honesty where he's kind of like, Steve and I get called assholes for this, though.
I do.
Where we say, I don't really care about your Facebook. Because people will walk up to us and be like, did you read my status?
And I'll say no.
And I'm like, no, I didn't really give a fuck. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm kind of just interested in me. So So, Sam, yeah, honest.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, gang.
You know he's not following us, but
no.
Thank
very
you.
Very fun.
Much. You're the best, pal.
Okay, bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
Sam Simon.
Yes. Oh, wow. He'd blend right in with us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Because I love the first thing he says to me is, oh, I'm not going to follow you.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, when we were broaching this car accident called Twitter.
He told you he's not following
right,
you?
Right off the bat, he's just like, well, I'm not going to follow you. I don't care. Which is just great.
Who's in there? Fricano?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. He's taking the paint right off.
Yeah, he is. Oh, God.
The Stefano, come plug your little restaurant again.
Oh, I got
to. Oh, by the way, don't we have to have a Lee conversation?
We do.
What do you mean, chairman?
Yeah.
Maybe if you showed up on time, we could have had it.
Yeah, pal.
Everybody go to Mr. Beef on Harlem, 39.
So we're holding off the Lee vote for a week? We're holding off the Lee vote for a week? Pat, you don't want him fired this week?
Ooh, giving him one more.
All right. He's getting another week.
Wow.
The Stefano lifeline.
Weakening. Are you weakening, Pat?
He giveth and taketh away.
He's got another week to prove his chance.
Can we go have a cigarette? We're voting him off L.A., Lenny? Is that what you said? So what song can I play on the way out? The Simpsons?
Yeah, no, play The Odd Couple, just because it's random. Because we're all odd. Play whatever you want.
I give a fuck about my song, because I go back and listen
to
my fucking song.
Can someone please call in and tell him you don't care about the song?
Marconi's texting me, by the way.
Play. You know what you should play? Flashdance. That's what you need.
When he lights up that cigarette,
Listen, pal. Oh, you want to play Flashdance?
Oh, my God. I have to listen to that? Oh, my God.
Okay. You win, Pat.
Why are we listening to Flashdance?
Thank you.
But a slow, flowing dream that your fears seem to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride in a world.